RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday here at RCR. Tuesday morning, Stephen Sykes is with us. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very good. Looking forward to catching up on mainly tech news. Yep, that's what you're here for. But first, the feedback. I believe we have some. Who's been getting in contact, Stephen?
Yes, so somebody has written in by the name of Beth saying that I had a request from my power supplier at the end of last week advising that I need to contact them as my smart meter needs to be upgraded. Don't they make it sound so enticing that it's a free upgrade? Is there anything I can do to push back? Could there be consequences? This seems to be one of those things that the value or the level of service you get depends very much on who you get on the other end of the phone.
Okay.
There is no legislation that says that you must have one.
Oh, okay, in the first place.
Yep. So there's that angle, and there's the other angle that I read out. I can't remember which particular episode of Tech Tuesday, but I came up with the cybersecurity angle of pushing back if they're not receptive to the health angle.
If they're trying to heavy you on the phone, you come back with that one.
Yep, you come back with an alternative angle in which to go, well, no, I don't want this smart meter, thanks. And, of course, they make things, threats that will have to estimate your power usage. Like, okay, fine, estimate it, or I'll be happy just to phone up and go, well, I've just read the meter, here's the numbers. Hmm.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Because they can't make you have it. They know that.
Yes, so that they're taking advantage of the fact that people aren't quite aware or up with the play on what they're legally supposed to do.
I just got an email from Mercury Energy, my provider, with a big breakdown of how much I used. I used 54% more electricity last week than the week before. So that's great to know. Boy, I'm happy about that. Thanks for letting me know that I'm using too much electricity. It's got that finger, waving the finger feel to it, you know? And they know that from the smart meter, right? That's all probably completely remote procedure to get this analysis to me.
And I can get it more frequently as well. So it's not just getting a number at the end of, your 28-day cycle or however long it is. They can do it every day if they want to.
Yeah. They're providing an out for themselves. They're telling me that I could save power, yet they want me to use as much power as possible.
Yes. When they say you could save power, that's like, well, hang on, that's the key word. You could, but you just might not.
Yeah, you just might not. And we gave you all the information to make your decision, an informed decision, so don't complain to us. You can just hear it. Yeah. All right, but I would complain. Right, moving on. More feedback. Moving on.
So this is actually from a few weeks ago, where somebody has said, I've recently heard the above phone chap talking about his phones and operating system. I have a Synology NAS and have been looking into hosting or serving my own emails via my own cloud without the NAS. The chap was working on private clouds in conjunction with his own phone operating system. Have you looked into something along the same lines? And when I read the words own cloud, we might be thinking of different things here, but I think of Nextcloud, which is the successor to Nextcloud, which is a cloud hosting platform typically used by private individuals, but not always. Organizations do use this as well, but they don't have a feature where you can have your own email server. You can certainly get Nextcloud to hook into an existing email provider account that you have. And running an email service of your own can kind of be tricky because you sort of need to get pushed up the, pushed up the pecking order in terms of having a service that is considered trustworthy and not spammy.
You can't have it under your bed at home.
Well, you kind of could, but there's a bit of work in actually setting up your own email service, but I'm not quite sure if that's what our...
Because security-wise, it would have to be tied as, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you would. You'd be looking at you doing your own security and implementing that. You would, you know, the responsibility now falls upon you.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's not that hard, you know. It's one of those things you keep tinkering and chipping away at, and before you know what's going on, like, oh, wow, you know some things you didn't know before.
Okay, well, as a learning experience, but I don't know if I get to sleep knowing all that data could be hacked, and then I'd have to explain to everyone why it happened.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. And another item. I think we've got three, haven't we?
That's right. So our last item, someone has asked, why aren't the spies picking up all these scammers? Set up an international task force to track them down. They steal our money via fake demands, Bitcoin accounts, etc. Well, that's a very hard, very, very hard task. Yeah. And is a nice segue into mentioning the fact that next week we'll be talking about online scams and things, techniques you can use to make yourself a little bit savvy in this area.
Okay, I look forward to that. That's next week. All right, that's the feedback done and dusted, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's get on to the issues. Oh, we have to start across the Tasman, Stephen. Oh, my God, Australia has slipped beneath the waters.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of a topic of everyone's lips at the moment, where they are doing their age assurance trial. Now, this is part of Australia's look at the social media ban for under 16s, where they will use facial recognition to determine who can use social media or not. And they have earmarked $6.5 million Australian dollars for the trial. Bids for the system were due by October the 7th, so clearly last month. They say that it's meant to help keep teenagers safe. Like, if you look at it at face value, pardon the pun, and just put aside the digital dystopian angle, then you could go, well, okay, this seems like a good thing.
You can. But that's the disturbing part of it.
Yes, yes. But again, this, I think there's a bigger issue, and I think the bigger issue is that, in my view, people need to be taking a look at whether or not they should be using social media at all, and it's probably hard to get to turn away from when so many other people are doing it. But at the same time, I think adults have to lead by example and what they do.
Yeah, surely. What does facial recognition in this situation mean? Does it mean identifying young faces or just a face? And if it's just a face, how do you prove you are over 16?
Well, this is what the facial recognition technology is supposed to be good for, and why they've put the tender out for this. It's meant to try and work out that if you are in a particular age bracket, so if you're over 18, then the government wants to trial double-blind tokenized attribute sharing, so they can do other things like credit cards as well. So the social media angle is where you get started. Like, okay, well, now you've done that, now we can work out if you actually are 18 and you're not using a whole bunch of fake ID. But of course, this starts going down the thin end of the wedge rabbit hole, because you can see where this easily leads to. But a lot of people go, okay, well, no, this is fine, because I think a lot of people, particularly if you're an iPhone user, are conditioned to doing this already, because if you're using facial ID on your iPhone, and to a lesser extent on a smaller selection of Android phones, your face is getting blasted by 10,000 infrared dots every 5 seconds. So you're accustomed to it.
Okay, does that have any health implication?
I wonder about that. I don't know, but I wonder if someone is beginning to study that, because that is definitely a good question to be trying to find the answer to.
What energy does infrared carry usually on the spectrum?
Oh, it's
infrared photons.
Yes, I mean it's obviously not visible to the human eye.
I'll do a search while we're talking to find out how powerful infrared light is. It is an on-ramp to a broader digital ID regime, surely.
Oh, absolutely. And I listened to a government announcement about it, and I'm reminded of the old saying, and I've been saying this a lot lately, this is why you don't give guns to monkeys.
Yeah, I've seen that video.
They say that the legislation will contain very strong privacy protections and that privacy must be paramount. These platforms know about their users in ways that no one else does. That's right, they do, because people who use them gave up that information in the first place. So tell me how this strict privacy they claim they'll be doing with facial recognition is somehow meant to uphold this. I don't think those ideas marry up.
Also, there's the, there's a few moral questions here, but the other moral question is, who do you think you are, the parent?
Yes. And let's not forget that data breaches happen on a daily basis, and most of the time you never hear about them. So, and nobody can really make the claim that a system like this is invulnerable to being breached. If anything, the very nature of the data it contains makes it an attractive target for thieves.
Oh, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be? Because that facial recognition would get you through a lot of things.
Yes.
Would you hold up a picture of someone else? Could you do that?
No, because they tend to want to go do 3D mapping.
Oh, okay.
And so if you've got a phone, that's why they use infrared, because they can do they can map the face.
Oh, I see.
In 3D. Otherwise, okay, they could just do it from a still shot on the camera. And yes, you could just hold up a photograph of somebody.
Infrared radiation is usually has lower photon energies than visible light, but it depends on this whole range of energies for infrared anyway, a range anyway. So it depends, I guess, but it'd be just like having a very low-level flash of light on your face each time, maybe.
But I wonder what the accumulative effect could be.
How do you know?
Yes.
Anyway, it's sad to see, though, you know, I'm just bracing for it to be coming to a couple of islands near us you know.
This might be the thing where people go, okay, that's it, not doing it.
What about timing of Trump?
Yeah, I don't know.
It might make people more emboldened and say, no, screw this. This is not the way the world's going now.
It could be, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Who knows?
People might choose to not be on board with that. But, I mean, at the same time, we've got this happening on. Also in Australia, venues New South Wales has issued a tender for facial recognition systems to be used at Stadium Australia and Western Sydney Stadium. This is sort of meant to kick off sort of early next year. And again, this is something that they're trying to do to thwart would-be dangerous fans at events. And this is not a first at all, because earlier this year, in January actually, they were planning on doing facial recognition for all stadiums in Italy's top football league.
Oh.
So there'll be nowhere that you can go to such a thing where they won't be able to track your movements.
Boy, it's just everywhere, isn't it now? Starting to go everywhere.
I think we should be in the streets protesting this personally, but that's just my opinion.
They'll be in the streets as well. Where can you go?
Indeed.
To some deserted field somewhere? What are all those people doing? It's the only place they don't get facially recognised at the moment.
Well, if a lot of people say no, then
But they don't, Stephen. You know that they don't.
I know. That's the worrying. That's the depressing thing. It's only
or it's too late.
It's only when it affects them directly.
Well, it could be with the kids feeling the sense. Though I'm even wondering if many parents will feel that way, because there's kind of this outsourcing of even parental roles to a degree now. You know,
yes,
to daycare, to nanny government who's going to keep little Johnny safe because we can't be bothered to lift a finger and engage with our, you know, child and what he or she is looking at and managing that, which is your responsibility, you know?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I think my view is that before you tell someone else what they should or shouldn't do, you should take a look at your own actions first.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, if you're a politician, you lose that one instantaneously. All right. What's this 3G shutdown? We're talking here in NZ.
Yeah, so originally this was slated to happen in March of next year, but One NZ have just come out saying that, and they've been sending messages to people that it's actually now going to be the 31st of December, 2025, not March.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's a bit of an extension.
Quite a bit of an extension, but I guess it's to, I'm guessing here that there's probably still quite a lot of people with older phones that might not work so well on a 4G network, because the 2G network will also be going at the same time.
Right. Okay.
So how long? 2 and 3G.
How long did those generations of cellular connectivity last then, between 2G and 3? Was it about 15, 20 years, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Could
there be a pushback on 5G that we're not kind of aware of, and the uptake's not as quick as? No, it wouldn't be that, would it?
Well, even if you didn't have a 5G phone, a 4G phone would work fine.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, but not a 3G phone on the 4G. That doesn't work, I take it.
Yeah, it'll be game over.
Game over for 3G. All right.
Yeah.
And next December, privacy tiff. Who between?
So between the Firefox and Brave web browsers. So there was an interesting little to and fro between these guys. Mozilla, who makes the Firefox browser, were basically slamming Brave for some of the things that they were doing, which in some ways to me comes across as a good thing for the end user, because if people are saying, hey, we're more private than this one, and then can back it up, then us as the end user wins out of this. If everyone's pushing to be the best at being private.
Competitive environment.
Yes. So Brave pushed back to say that, well, actually, if you were to look at privacytest.org website, you'll see that Brave scores head and shoulders above what Firefox is capable of. Typically, Firefox users who don't use Brave and want to have a more private web browser will go and use LibreWolf or Mulvad, because they're based on the Firefox web browser. Firefox also claimed that Brave's default ad blocker may break websites and you have to keep fiddling with it. Brave said, well, actually, we are continually improving it, and you can turn stuff off on a per-site basis if things don't quite work for your way. And then they also said that, well, Brave's search engine is also the default search engine in the Brave web browser. And they go, well, yes, that's supposed to be like that. And then they also said, don't you guys take money from Google for making Google the default search engine in your browser? So to me, that's a bit of a mic drop moment, that one.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Should have seen that one coming.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. I wonder how that one sorts itself out then.
Well, they might end up retreating to their corners. I'm not too sure because it seems like somebody sort of in Firefox or Mozilla came out with some kind of inaccurate propaganda to, I mean, clearly to me, Firefox feel like they're being trumped over by Brave.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Instead of coming up with a better product, we'll just try and, you know, tear it down.
It's like, hey, we were here first. This is not fair.
You know, yes.
From Mozilla.
And then the new kid comes on the block and does the job better.
Yeah. Two-way to electronic banking, back to facial recognition or biometrics in general. What's this about?
So Kuwaiti citizens have been, I guess, forced to undergo biometric fingerprinting. So if you want to get money into your or access your money in your bank account, you must enroll your fingerprints, etc., and your biometrics with the banks. If you happen to be a citizen and you're abroad, like you're a student on a scholarship, or you're overseas for whatever reason, when you come back at the airport, you must complete biometrics.
Okay, no choice. That's how you get in. Otherwise, sorry, can't come in.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's that necessarily. It just might be, well, if you want your money, then this is what you have to do.
Well, that's equally a massive incentive.
Yes, very
maybe
much.
Even more, because you could go somewhere else and still access your money, presumably. Okay, so what? Are they being hit with fraud and all sorts of things? Is there any reasoning published for this, apart from it's so convenient?
That's probably the two main points of motivation for this. But anytime you use biometrics to secure any system, the big downside with biometrics that you don't have with anything else is that when that information is stolen, you can't reset it.
Your fingerprint.
It's your fingerprint. It's your face. It's your gait. Wow, you know, the way you
scary.
Walk.
Yeah, the way you walk. Yeah.
You can reset everything except your biometrics, unless you've got a lot of time and money and plastic surgery is something you want to consider.
Okay, so next week we're into online scams.
Yes, we are.
I'm sure we'll learn a few or about a few. How smart are people? How genius are they with their scams these days, just generally in your assessment, Stephen?
Very, very good. Very good. And it's harder now when you have AI voices where people have replicated other voices and you're not too sure if you're talking to the person you think you are.
I hadn't thought of that. I'm looking forward to that one. Thank you, Stephen, again. We'll talk again in a week next Tuesday for another Tech Tuesday. Stephen Sykes.
Sounds good to me. See you then.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.